Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for tuning in with us today. Thank you for tuning in with us today here on For the Spirit Christian Network. We have such a special treat today. You know, it's near and dear to my heart to have a speaker and a dynamic minister from where I was, you know, where I was first birthed from, my hometown in Mealport, Alabama. And a brother that I grew up with, and he's still much older than me, or around my brother's age and everything. But has always been a great person, a outstanding citizen. He served our country as well, and he's been in ministry for quite some time, and now he succeeded our last pastor there that, you know, spent many years at Holly Grove Baptist Church, and he's no other than Kevin Dixon, Pastor Kevin Dixon. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great, man. It's just, like I said, it's such a blessing to have you on the show with me today, and to be able to be a part of the day six of the last seven words here on Fruit of the Spirit. And it's just like home came to Augusta, Georgia today. You know, you from home. You came to Augusta to, you know, greet us here, and the radio broadcast is pretty much all over the world, and all our listeners, we don't take it lightly. We thank you for tuning in with us today. It's the sixth day. It's the sixth day, and, you know, yesterday was Good Friday, and we had some dynamic speakers this week, starting with day one, Minister Jarvis, day two, Pastor Bronner, three, my wife, Natasha, day four, Minister Young, day five, myself came through, and now day six, the great pastor out of Alabama, Holly Grove Baptist Church, Pastor Kevin Dixon. There again. Hey, I know some of my Mealport people, y'all done tuned in tonight. Hey, we thank y'all for tuning in with us tonight and everything. Come this, support your pastor and everything. We appreciate that. We really do. We appreciate that. And Pastor, now I can introduce you in that format. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great, my brother. Doing great.
That's good.
That's good.
Yes, he is, man. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. How long you been? How long have you been there at Holly Grove? Over a year now, haven't you?
Yes, in August will be 2 years.
Wow! That is man. It's coming. It's coming around again, huh?
Yes, it is coming around again.
I know it. And also, you know, Pastor Dixon is such a busy brother. He's such a busy brother in the vineyard. He's always trying to, you know, you got your food bank. You got your food bank going. You just had your Easter egg hunt today. I mean, is that a dull moment for you, Pastor Dixon?
No, just when I can go fishing.
Hey, I seen old fish you caught, was it yesterday?
Yes, my twin.
Oh, man. Oh, shoot. I've been trying to get out there and go fishing myself and everything. And, hey, shoot, when I get down that way, you're going to have to teach me a thing or two.
Oh, we can do that.
Yes, sir. Well, we're going to get in. Well, hey, it's on you, Pastor Dixon. We're going to get in this word, and I'm going to pray, and hey, I'm going to let you have it, sir, okay?
Okay.
All right. Father God, we thank you. We bless your name this day and forevermore, Lord God. We thank you for everybody that's tuned in, Lord God, to hear the word of the Lord today, Lord God. This is about you and your business, what you want and how you want it, Lord God. Lord God, let not the word of the man that cometh forth right now to speak and preach your word right now, Lord God, let it not fall on deaf ears, Lord God. But, Lord God, you said if one is saved and delivered, the angels in heaven are rejoicing, Lord God. We thank you. We believe you this day, Lord God. We believe you every day, Lord God. Lord God, cover us, Lord God. Lord God, build them and cover the man of the hour, Lord God, as he comes and he speaks, and Lord God, and deliver a word of healing, deliverance, and peace, Lord God. Lord God, we love you, Lord God. We bless your name this day and forevermore, Lord God. And we ask you to have your way. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way this day and forevermore. We bless your name in the precious mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Now, without further ado, Holly Grove's very own Pastor Kevin Dixon. Amen.
God bless you.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, we were blessed to have the assignment of It Is Finished. It is one of my favorite scriptures that comes from Jesus' last sayings. It comes from John, the 19th chapter, and the 30th verse. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. That beautiful blessing and praying over me. So we'll move forward. It says that in the 30th verse, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and about his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when you go and look in the dictionary, when you look at "it's finished," it shows that completion. It means that it is completed. So what we have to ask ourselves today is, what was finished? What was Christ talking about? And if you go back and look at the journey of Jesus Christ's life. If you look back at Matthew, the second chapter, the 49th verse, you'll see that when Jesus' parents and him had made the trip for the Passover, that his parents had started back at a day's journey, it said, and then they looked and asked the people around them, and they couldn't find Jesus, and they journeyed back, and after 3 days searching for him, it said that they found him. And if you look at that Matthew, the second chapter, in the 49th verse, if you look at Matthew, what it said was, he says that when they found him, it says that Jesus said, they asked him, "Why have you upset us? Why have you done us this way? Why have you brought us grief?" And Jesus looked at them and he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And it says,
amen.
He had to correct his mother, and Joseph, which was not his biological father, but who assumed the role of being his father. He looked, and they marveled at the saying that Jesus had said, but we have to realize that we must be about our Father's business as well. Looking at my notes, we all must realize it's not about us. It's all about God. But if you look at the Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, it said something there. It prophesied about what Christ would do, and it told us what he came for. But if you look at that Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and the 6th verse, it says something here, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what the Israelites were looking forward to. They were looking forward for this king. They were looking forward for this man of peace that was to come, and he was to free his people. They were looking forward to seeing God bless them in a mighty way. What we need to realize today, just like them, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We all have sin.
Yes,
people still need to realize
sir.
That they always talk about how God rules, but sometimes God has to punish us as well. Sometimes he has to correct us the same way he did the Israelites, but he still blessed us in that Luke, the 2nd chapter, and that 10th verse, an angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was fulfilled. They told about him going to be born, and then Luke showed where it was fulfilled. So, and he should have brought about a change into the world. They were looking for him to come with silver and gold and looking for him to come in a palace and in a big mansion, but he came humble. He came low. He came meekly. He was born in a manger, and they brought him gifts, but had visitors that came that one said that now I can die. I saw the prophecy being fulfilled, and they came and they worshiped and praised him, which we should still be doing today. We should still praise the Lord for everything that he does in our lives that, moving ahead. And one thing that I hope you know about me is that I don't stay all day. the third thing was that he established his church. When he says it's finished, he established his church. The church we think of as a building. We think of it as bricks, and we think of it as marble, and we think of it with materialistic things, but the church that Christ is concerned with is the church that's inside of us. That 18th, Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 18th verse, but let's go back one more. That 15th verse says, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That's what we as Christians must realize. If we say that we are of Christ, we need to show it in the way that we live, and we need to know him for ourselves. 16th verse, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered the 17th verse, saying to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus, this is where the church was created. And I say unto thee, that 18th verse, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ's church is going to stand against all the wiles of the devil. You can't destroy it. You might tear down the sanctuaries and the buildings where we praise him, but God's church, it will never be destroyed. It'll stand forever. Now, that means that all of us have to have a relationship with God. For us to be finished, and all of us have a day appointed unto us, an expiration date where all of us are going to die, all of us are going to give up the ghost one day, but we must realize how we're going to finish. Are we going to finish strong and go to heaven, or are we going to finish short of the finish line and die and go to hell?
Realize
that there are two destinations. One is heaven. One is hell. Based on how you live this life, how you run this race, based on whether or not you finish this course that Peter was talking about, that's going to determine whether we go to heaven or we go to hell. But he established the church. One thing in our church we all know, and it's all of our slogans, is it's all about God. It's not about us. All of us know that everything that we do is for the glory of God. All of us have a job to do. All of us, when you join the church, it's not to sit down. You got to go to work. It's some hungry people that need to be fed. It's some grieving people that need to be comforted. We got to go about spreading his word and giving a testimony of the good things that God can do. One thing I can assure us is that whenever you die, the next person you see is not going to be Donald Trump. It's not going to be Barack Obama. It's not going to be Hillary Clinton. The next person we see and says after we die, the judgment coming, is going to be from Christ, because Christ is the only righteous judge. He's worthy to judge us. He is the one that's going to determine whether we go to heaven or we go to hell. Now, getting close to the end, here's something that was said in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and that fifth verse, it said that, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, is what healed us. That death that we celebrated on yesterday, and it was talking about the Good Friday, it was a brutal day. It was a day to where blood was shed, and he had been beat, and he had been betrayed, and he had been marched from judgment hall to judgment hall. And it says that he never said a mumbling word. If you go on down and go to the sixth, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, when we say all of us have sinned, we were part of the reason why Christ had to die, because we had sinned. He was oppressed, the seventh verse. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened it not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. It says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall by righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We celebrate Easter, but do we really know what it means? We talk about Good Friday, but if you look at it, John 3:16 takes on a new meaning here. When you go back and you read, look at John 3:16. It takes on a new meaning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You go back and look, and I tell them, you got to go back and look at the 14th verse before you get to that 16th. Go and look at it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The people were so evil back then, and God would bless them, and then they would go back and sin again, and then God would bless them through Moses. They were thirsty, and he'd tell Moses, go and strike the rock, or speak to the rock, and give them water, and they were hungry, and they would complain, and God would give them manna and cause the fowls to come into the camp in the nighttime and all, and they didn't have permanent shelter, but God was with them. But they still continued to sin against him, and they began always betraying him. And after a while, God got mad at them, and he turned loose some fiery serpents, and the people were bitten and began to die. And then they came and asked Moses again, intercede on our behalf. Talk to God for us. And Moses went and prayed, and God told him, this is what I want you to do. Go and make a serpent out of copper and put it in the middle of the camp, and everybody that looks up at that serpent can be healed, and the ones that were bitten could looked up at the serpent, and they were healed immediately. Same thing happens with Christ. It says that whosoever in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We must lift up God, just like they did that serpent. We got to lift up Christ, not with nails and not with the wood and all. It's the way that we live, the way that we talk, the way that we interact. We got to lift him up. We got to be a living example of what Christ is. Now, looking back at that 19 and 30, it is finished. It means that Christ had done everything that God said he was going to do. He was born in a manger, and it says that he began to walk with us, and he began to talk with us. And John, I love about the first, it says that he was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. We don't have any more excuses not to try to live perfect lives or not to try to be Christ-like. We don't have any excuses to complain because of things that are going on against us, that the world is throwing at us and the devil is going against. We don't have any reason to complain because Christ was the Word. He was perfect, and he remained perfect even unto death. And we as a church, for us to finish it like we're supposed to, we should be able to feed 5,000. We might not be able to do it with 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread, but we should be able to feed. We should be able to lay hands on the ones that are sick. It says that if we are truly who we say we are, we ought to be able to, when someone is sick, they can call upon the bishops and the elders, and they should be able to come and lay hands on people, and people ought to be able to be healed if we're finishing and if we who we say we are. Even that the ones that are, he even could raise the dead. Even though that they thought that death was the end, Christ said, I have all power even over death. The little girl that had died 12 years old, and Christ looked and said, she is not dead, she's sleeping. And they began to laugh at him, and he had to put them out, and he reached out and he raised her up and brought her back to life. A woman with an issue of blood could just touch the hem of his garment and could be made whole. Christ gave us that same power, but it's through him. We can't do it through us. We have to do it through him. So in order for us to finish strong, we got to finish through him. Now, as we come to a close, and as everybody around me knows that I love to do, what I'm looking forward for in the end and for me to finish, I want to be where it was at in Revelation, that 7th chapter, that 13th verse when the elders looked out and answered and said unto them, what are these which are arrayed in white robes and whence, white robes, and whence came they? 14th, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and I washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. This is what I want us to get today. You can have this right now. 16 says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of them shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. At the end, when it was finished, Christ gave up the ghost. What he was talking about was, I've done everything that you sent me here to do. Father, I completed my mission. And Father, that separation that was created in the Garden of Eden, and you said that in order for it to be made whole, that there had to be a sacrifice. Now, not the type with the sheep or the ox or the goat. It had to be a sacrifice that was without spot or blemish, and no man on earth was free from sin. So Christ had to come down and be made flesh. Christ had to be made sin for us. Even though he'd never sinned, he became sin for us. We complain about being betrayed and denied, but Judas, one of his own, betrayed him. Peter denied him. All the other disciples forsook him and ran when they came and laid hands on him to march him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Though he had never sinned, and drove a Herod and Pilate, that they couldn't find anything that he had done wrong. The chief priests, his own people that was supposed to be speaking for him, that's supposed to be representing God, they were the ones who betrayed him. How are we going to finish? Are we going to finish strong and go to heaven? Are we going to make Christ lift him up, or are we going to lay him down and try to keep him in the tomb? That's what they wanted. They wanted to shut him up. But you can't hold God because it's too big. You can't go above him. You can't go around him. And you can't go beneath him. And anything that we need, we can have, because it says the earth belongs to the Lord. But when he gave up the ghost, and they took him down off of that cross, and they put him in a borrowed tomb, he stayed there all night that Friday. It was having a conversation that Friday and that Saturday. And that Saturday night, that early that third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Even death in the grave don't have a say-so now in what happens to us. He took the sting out of that, and he gave victory to all of us. Death can't do nothing to us, and death can only kill you one time. It's appointed in a man once to die. After that, the judgment. Christ, we live through him. Our flesh is going to die. It's going to go back to dirt. Once it's finished and our name has been called and our last day on earth is come to an end, and we've looked at our loved ones for the last time, we've taken our last breath, it's going to be finished, the flesh part, but there's something that we're waiting on. Christ said we're sleeping. John said that we are sleeping. He wouldn't have us being ignorant concerning those that are asleep. The next thing that we want to see, we want to see our loved ones who are dead in Christ. If we're not dead, they'll be called up first. It says, and after that, we'll be called up in the air to be with them. we can go be with Christ and live forevermore. We don't have to worry about heartache and pain anymore. You don't have to worry about suffering. You don't have to worry about people talking about you behind your back because it's finished. You don't have to worry about even having to eat anymore, and you don't have to worry about having those streets they're talking about. God's going to be there in the presence, and we'll be able to see him face to face, and we'll be able to tell him thank you for the things that he done for us in our lives, how he blessed us. And I want to finish strong. When I die, I want to hear him say, well done. That's what all of us want to hear. We want to go and be in that number. And let me tell you a little secret before we get out of here. We're not going to be on those three thrones that are sitting up front. They're already taken. God the Father, and then God the Son, and then God the Holy Ghost. Those seats are already taken. We're not going to be there. And those 12 witnesses on the side and all the judges, we're not going to be in that seat. We're going to be in the great number that's there praising his name and singing hallelujah to him. So all of us need to learn how to treat one another, because all of us came from dirt, and all of our bodies are going back to dirt. But that Holy Spirit, that spirit on the inside, our souls, it's going to live forever. Now we have a question. Do you want peace? Do you want happiness? Do you want to lift up your high eyes in hell and be tormented for eternity? You're not coming out. Christ made a way for us. That's why when he said it's finished, he made a way out for us, to where if we believe in him, we can go to heaven, and we go through him. Not we can't go around him. We got to go through Christ. So when he said it's finished, he's done the hard part. He's died for us. He's risen again on that third day morning. He said he was going to prepare a place for us. But what I love was he even though he was finished, he gave us one more gift. He says, expedient that I leave, or else he can't come back. And we asked who was he talking about. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. That's our personal connection with God. That's the one that when others say that you're nobody, it whispers in your ear, you are somebody. That's the one when the doctor says no and we've done all that we can do, that's when the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, now is our turn. It's time for us to do what we can do. We can do all things but fail. And you can have life. You can have it more abundantly. And that Holy Spirit, when you look at your bank account, look at your bills, and they don't match up, your bills outweigh your income, God can look at you and whisper in your ear and say that the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Don't worry about those physical bills and all. I can pay that. I can bless you with anything that you need. Instead of looking down, look up. God bless you. God keep you. It's finished. We don't have to worry about suffering, and we don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. What we're worried about, we want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. God bless you. God keep you. Don't give up. Keep your head up. And this is not the end. It's just the beginning. And death, because some of the people are going through death, that's not the end. It's just the beginning. All of us one day has to give up this flesh. But, oh, what a glorious time we're going to have when we walk through those gates and we'll be in the presence of the Lord, and we'll be there forever. God bless you, my brother. God keep you. This is our prayer.
Amen. Amen, man. Oh, wow. Wow. It is finished. Whew. Well, Holly Grove, I understand. I understand, Holly Grove.
Y'all been ready to shout, man.
I understand, Holly Grove. Yes, yes. I'm talking about the man of God represented not only y'all today. He represented the body of Christ, and I am I'm floored and I am elated. But you know, I'm not in disbelief, because I know what the spirit in the pastor that y'all have, he's always been an outstanding brother. And you talk about delivered a word on holy high tonight. And it really, really has really, really fed my spirit. If you're listening by radio right now, if you're listening, I know that this sermon, I know the word of God really penetrated your soul. Because if you're not changed, or you don't feel an effect of the rumbling effect of the spirit of the Holy Spirit that just was passed, I'm not going to say there's something wrong with you. What I'm going to say, you need to check yourself.
Bless you.
Because the word was really, really sweet and profound, and to the point. And I said to myself, he say another scripture. I'm talking about he is a quoting scripture, a walking Bible right now. I said to myself, oh my God, back and forth and forward and back. My. I know you was blessed tonight. I know you was blessed tonight. I am thoroughly blessed tonight by the word of God that was passed through. I've been blessed this whole week. I'm not just saying this because he, you know, I know this brother and everything, but the word was sweet this evening on a Saturday evening. Saturday when we most times we rest and we go and do things with our family back and forth. But I am pleased and I am thankful. I'm grateful that, you know, I'm here. I'm here today to, and I didn't miss this word. This was sweet. This is sweet. So,
God bless you.
Oh my God, brother. My, oh my God, that was good. That was real good. That was real good.
God,
Radio Man.
That's a blessing.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, that I said Matthew 2:49 is Luke 2:49 when Christ told his mother and father that I must be about my father's business. Let me correct that. Some of my church members don't bring the Bible tomorrow. Show me, but it's Luke 2:49. Thank you, man.
hey, that's right. That's right. You catch it before they catch it. Because,
man,
you know,
God bless
hey.
You.
God bless you, man. God bless you, man of God. And Radio Land, if you would, do me a favor. Stretch out your arms to whatever device you're listening by. Stretch your hands out towards the device. And I want you to let us pray for Pastor Kevin Dixon right now and restore. Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you for the word, the blessed word that went forth today, Lord God, that the man of God, Lord God, removed himself and allowed the Holy Spirit to take the seat, to take the front seat, to take the driver's seat, Lord God, and the holy angels, Lord God, guide and rear from all four corners of his vehicle, Lord God, and leading the God his tongue, Lord God, that the word that was spoken today was like fire. It was just like a fiery word that just shot out, Lord God, purifying the soul, Lord God, the minds, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for the word that went forth today, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you just restore his centrums, Lord God. We ask you just restore him, Lord God. Everything that he poured out today, Lord God, restored back into his fold, Lord God. Lord God, as we go tomorrow as well to preach and speak the word of God, Lord God. Lord God, let him do it mightily again. But also, Lord God, we ask you, we pray for him, we pray for his wife and his children, Lord God, his household, Lord God, the ministry that you bless him with, Lord God, that you keep him covered in perfect peace and standard, Lord God. And Lord God, every fiery dart, every enemy, everything that's tried to come, has tried and will try to come up against him, Lord God, we block it out, Lord God. Every trap that's been set, we make it dysfunctional in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this soul, Lord God. You bless with. Thank you for the word today, there again, that the man of God brought, Lord God. We thank you for his life. And Lord God, we love you. We bless your name this day and forevermore, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, man, that was good, man. Pastor, man, that was good, bro.
Thank you, man.
That was better than good. We thank you again for tuning in with us tonight here on Fruit of the Spirit Christian Ministry. We have had a powerful week this week, and we look forward to tomorrow, day 7, and it's Sunday, y'all. It's Sunday. Sunday morning. Night, Pastor Kevin said he got up with all power in his hand. Not only that, Lord, what would you choose? The pastor said tonight, what would you choose? No, Jesus chose this role. And
yeah.
the only way we could see God's face is through him. You can go through any other entity you want. You could try to go through any other entity that you want. But if you don't go through Jesus, then, you know, I've been in working in law enforcement almost 20 years. And this side of it, I'm working in a prison. Now I see people, a lot of men with life sentences, and then after that, that's it. You know, they won't get out. And that's the same as hell. That, you know, some of those guys get out for good behavior and parole. You know, they parole out, or they, let me tell you, like Pastor Kevin, there's no parole in hell. There's no, you know, okay, I get out for good behavior. There's not. It's either God says you either have life or death. You're going to spend, it's two things are guaranteed, two things, one of the two. You're either going to live eternity in heaven, or you're going to live eternity in hell. Now, the choice is yours. Now, what would you have today? Pastor spoke, and he said, finish strong. That's what we're here to do, finish strong. See somebody hungry, feed them. You see somebody in need, help them. And do it without talking back. And do it without asking them to try to get something back from them. You're not doing it because you want to do it. You got to do it out of the kindness of your heart in the way Jesus would do it. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And we are finished for the day. God bless you. God bless you, powerful man of God. I thank God for you there again. And Holly Grove, we thank you, and we are blessed on this station today that you all let us, you know, borrow your pastor for a moment and come over here and wreck this station. Now he's going to wreck y'all again tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for tuning in to us today. God bless you, and God keep you. Thank you, Pastor. And this will not be your last time of hearing Pastor Kevin Dixon on this show. And if you want to hear this over again, hear it over again, all the sermons and all this network is archived. So at any time you want to go on and listen to any part, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're able to do it through this whole year. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, big brother.
Thank you, my brother. Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you too, big brother. All right. Good night, y'all.